ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Willie Donick coming up at 8 o'clock. Get into a little Predators conversation with him. Mike Herndon from PaulKuharsky.com at 8.30 to discuss the Tennessee Titans as mandatory minicamp gets underway today. 3 days of minicamp coming up. We'll see if on the third day they go like fly fishing or to Topgolf or what happens on the third day.
That's right. The third day is often kind of – I'm trying to remember. They still do the media stuff third day?
I don't know.
Because the third day –
yeah, there's media Thursday.
I know it's officially on there, but they also officially have practice. A lot of times Vrabel's just like, let's go kayaking.
Let's go eat.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
At least 2 days of minicamp coming up.
Yeah.
Scheduled for three. We'll see what happens on that front. But that's getting underway today, and one of the storylines of the offseason to this point for the Titans is Kevin Byard. We know that the Titans asked Kevin Byard to take a pay cut. He did not oblige to take a pay cut, and Kevin Byard was not here for the OTAs. I would assume, Joe, that he is going to be there today as mandatory minicamp gets underway, and I would assume he'll probably talk at some point today too. So what do you make of what's going on with Kevin Byard? And what do you think the chances are that he's not there today? I think it's pretty low, but what do you think the chances are that Kevin Byard does not show up for the first day of mandatory minicamp?
I meant to check this yesterday. Didn't. But I'm sure you guys have the Titans official account, because they were there yesterday.
Yeah.
Titans official account sent out any video of any player?
I'll double check.
Pictures of anybody? Because remember during the OTA last time, it was like, 22 is here, everybody! And then it's like, I don't see 31 in your videos. So if there were players yesterday who were announced as around and he wasn't one of them, then I want to change my answer. Because I would agree with you. I would expect him to be at mandatory minicamp and expect him to talk today, expect him to kind of put this to bed, which, look, I mean, if he's here and it's like, okay, he's going to be part of everything moving forward, he kind of expressed how he felt by not being there or whatever. Maybe he'll say something. Hey guys, guess what? I had this or this or this going on in my personal life, and I couldn't make OTAs, but you guys go ahead and make a big deal out of it. Maybe he'll say that. It looks to me that maybe it was a little bit of a tax to the Titans for trying to cut his salary. But if he's here today, then again, I think it gets put to bed. I said this on Jared versus Joe yesterday, another sham win for Jared, that Byard is not whenever he talks about this, Byard is not just going to go press release coming out of someone's mouth. He's not.
No.
I mean, he's going to tell you if he was upset about it, and why wouldn't he have been? Anybody would have been, I think, right?
Sure.
In his shoes. So he'll be honest and talk about it, but I think probably also put it to bed. Because if he's here to work, okay. You know what? They asked, said no. Didn't go to OTAs at minicamp, and it's basically over at that point to me.
Well, that's the thing. Like, unless he just wants to be traded and it made him that mad that he wants to now be traded, like, this is different from holding out from a contract. He's under contract. He's got his money. They asked him to take a pay cut,
right,
and he said no. So either unless they wanted to trade him or he now wants to be traded, like, to me, it's just kind of over at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. I mean, I think that's how it goes. If it doesn't go that way, I mean, look, Rand Carthon, obviously Jared cited a source saying that, he asked to be traded. Now, no one else has reported that, and Rand Carthon has every opportunity he's had has dunked on that.
Correct.
So, that's where we are. Now, if Byard's not there today, like you said, then I start to wonder, okay, you sure? You sure that he
right.
wants to play here. I mean, I think that opens up the discussion on that front. But like you said, if you're Kevin Byard, you're getting paid awfully well.
You are?
Yeah. You've got a good contract. And so I think that's how it'll go.
So I'm going to ask you the same question.
Keeping an open mind.
That you asked Gentry Estes and Corey Curtis yesterday, which is, outside of Kevin Byard and the quarterbacks for the Tennessee Titans, what excites you the most about minicamp coming up?
I asked that question because I didn't have my own answer. So what do you think I have an answer now?
Yeah. Educational purposes the last couple of days.
No, I mean, I'm interested to, you know, obviously with minicamp, you do get more of an opportunity to see the actual offense against the actual defense at times. So I'm interested to see some of the matchups downfield. You're not gonna get much of an idea of anything going on in the trenches. And you're not gonna get an idea of much of anything going on in the trenches through most of training camp. Some, but yeah, it's still limited there too in terms of full contact. So but still at the same time, like, there's still pass pro and pass rush, things like that. But mostly I would say the receivers against the defensive backs and seeing if this offense actually looks like some completely different thing from what it was in the past. So I'm trying to manufacture some excitement here, okay?
Maybe they're just going to go no huddle the whole day. Just run tempo the
whole
time.
That's true. That would be interesting.
Well, the offense change is interesting to me. I mean, if Tim Kelly's coming in and they've determined as a staff, we need to change the offense, like the system that we're running, we need to adapt. And whether it's more of a Houston, New England style of offense rather than the L.A. Rams, McVay, Shanahan, all that stuff, like, how much different is that going to look? Now, look, you can run different offenses and some of your schemes and some of your play calls are going to be pretty similar to what you ran before. Right. So, you know, it's not going to be like the Titans are now going to the run and shoot out there.
That'd be awesome.
They would be awesome to watch that take place. But
No tight ends.
Yeah, we don't love tight ends are overrated. I am interested to see what that eventually evolves into. Like, when you're in mandatory minicamp, you're obviously, they've been installing some of that stuff and they've been running it in OTAs. I mean, it's not like you're coming out there as a finished product in mandatory minicamp running your offense. So there's only so much that is going to be available to be seen the next couple of days. But I do like the idea, at least, of the Titans taking a hard look at their offense and saying, you know what, maybe we need some different ideas. We obviously have a different coordinator coming in. You got Charles London at quarterback coach coming in. Just some new blood with the offense from a coaching standpoint, from a schematic standpoint, I think could be pretty interesting. It's going to come down to personnel. We all know that. But the coaching can help and the schematics can help. And I think a lot of Titans fans would make the argument that those two areas have hurt the Titans the last couple of years. So how much different is it going to be under Tim Kelly, I think, is going to be an ongoing conversation, but a very interesting one.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that the idea of some more tempo is good. I mean, I think, you know, a guy like Tannehill, I always felt like Tannehill, whether it's a, you know, end of half, end of game necessary situation or here and there where they throw it in, I think a lot of quarterbacks like that. He's good at it. He's efficient. You know, he gets everyone going. I mean, I think it suits him well, and I think it's a good idea. And yeah, a lot of the Tim Kelly impact, it's just, we're going to see when he's actually has gone through an actual game plan week and then he's going against a defensive coordinator, you know, but how different does it look? You're still going to see outside zone. You're still going to see inside zone. And yeah, like you said, like, the terminology changes with the offense, the New England offense, whatever you want to call it, you know, from this one. But in terms of actually, like, what we see, what the naked eye sees, I don't know that it's going to be all that different, but it'll be interesting. And, look, you took out the Byard, and you took out the quarterbacks, but, I mean, the quarterbacks is
– for sure.
I mean, that's definitely high interest level here. 3 days in a row, you know, see how Levis does after, you know, especially last week, you know, tough practice and a little bit of emotion. And Malik Willis – seems to have improved. So what does that look like when he gets team reps?
I just need them to keep the Treylon Burks lateral in the playbook that we saw in the Jacksonville game where he threw it clear across the field.
Todd
Downing, as long as they keep that. We're good.
Todd Downing's gift to Nashville. That stays here.
Let's make this lateral that was actually a five-yard forward pass. Just keep it in the rule
book. Just, you know, you're getting tackled, you're bouncing around. Just throw it across the field, man. They'll never expect it.
No, I mean, look, this is obviously when you get to minicamp, especially when you've drafted a rookie quarterback, that's going to be beyond, you know, the Byard situation and what he has to say. A lot of eyes are going to be on Will Levis this week, and this is an opportunity for him to get some valuable reps. Malik Willis, how much progress has he made? We got the whole team out there, and we'll see if Levis can, you know, have some good. You know, we talk about this in training camp. The obsession with like practice throws is just amazing to me in the NFL. But you know, over a long period of time, I think they do tell you things. Not, you know, taking each individual day and having some rapid revelation from each individual day of quarterbacks in practice is amazing to me. But I do think you learn things over time with quarterbacks in practice. I'm trying to justify it.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think back now in my head over things that happened in a spring. I mean, the only thing that I can even remember where it was like it was even like memorable was Julio Jones. Who did he just cook? I might have been Chris Jackson.
Yeah.
But he gave a double move. And I have to go back and read the hilarity of what I wrote. Like, oh my God, Julio Jones! Oh,
well, do you remember
this offense is going to be unstoppable? Was that
Ryan Tannehill's? Remember the whole back and forth between you and Jared? Ryan Tannehill's
that
training
was camp. That was camp.
Oh,
yes.
Well, camp. Okay, right. But
no, I know Jared's so ridiculous about that. Like Tannehill in the 2019 camp wasn't good. He was not as good as Mariota. He was awful in one of the New England practices. And in 2019, he had one of the best statistical seasons of a quarterback we've ever seen. So, yes, camp means so much. It just totally just translates to the season.
Especially minicamp. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. We've got a lot of questions on the Titans already on our text line. We'll get into some of those coming up next. Take more of your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Got a text that says, who's the Titans kicker? I feel like this hasn't been talked about at all in the Titans offseason.
And then you reminded me that Trey Wolf was one of them, and I like,
yeah,
wow,
the Trey Wolf.
I didn't realize. Like, I obviously realized his name was Trey Wolf at some point, but I totally forgot. So it's him, and it's Caleb Shudak would be the competition, and I would definitely keep your mind open for a veteran signed if no one is just outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, maybe do the circle back around to Randy. I feel like you got to let him go. Like, I know he's still out there and is available. But yeah. I don't think I'm going back to Randy. Like, at some point, you got to be able to make, like, a 52-yard field goal.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I still – I don't know where the heck he is or what's happening to him, but I still feel like Sam Hot Chicken Ficken was actually pretty good before he got hurt. You know, so there's options out there. But
he's free agent.
That's the competition right now. So, obviously, the Titans are hoping – at some point to have identified and found a young kicker who's a top kicker in this league, consistent, can hit the 50-plus, and that they can have long-term because it's been musical chairs here for a while. And Randy stabilized things and was fine, but you can do better than that.
Well, I'm looking at the free agent list of kickers who are available right now. Ryan Succop is out there at 36 years old. Mason Crosby is out there. I would imagine he's probably retiring.
How old is Mason Crosby?
He's 38. He'll be 39.
Yeah, okay. Good for him for not being in his 40s yet, like I would have assumed.
Robbie Gould is 40. He is out there. Randy Bullock is out there. And then there's a bunch of guys that you've never heard of that are out there, too.
Okay.
So, I mean, those are the options you're dealing with right now.
I mean, I think that Shudak, I think there's some hope. There's some optimism that he could be that guy. So we'll see. Yeah, he's had his own injuries. But that's, a team like this, it's going to, you know, even if some things break their way, they're not going to be putting up 35 points on a on the regular. So they need to go ahead and make a lot of field goals and be able to be efficient kicking field goals and win games 20-17.
No, seriously, like that's going to be the difference in a few games for the Titans this year.
Yes.
Whether they make or miss field goals, that's absolutely going to be the difference in some of these games this year. And we talked about this a couple years ago when they were going through, you know, the kicking carousel that they went through. You know, everybody kind of jokes about the kicker until you don't have one, and then all of a sudden you're in big trouble. Like you've got to find a way to make big clutch kicks in this league. And, you know, we've seen the Titans go through their struggles at field goal. And look, to Randy Bullock's credit, he came in, he made a lot of big kicks. You know, he missed some too, but the range was always something where you're like, man, like you got to get inside basically 50 to feel like he's got a good chance to knock it down. And in the NFL, you have to feel like you've got at least a decent chance, a good chance to make a field goal up to about 55 yards. Like if you don't have that, you're behind the eight ball a little bit at that position in the NFL.
Yeah. No doubt. They've got to advance there. Unnamed texter says, Crosby moved to Nashville. Well, everybody lives in Nashville. Also says, saw him kicking the other day. He's hoping to join the Titans.
Okay.
No, that's a scoop from the text.
Maybe
line.
So.
Anonymous scoop. Mason Crosby.
I don't know that I would do that if I were the Titans. It's just me.
But he moved to Nashville.
He did. Now, I will say, I'm sure that he would enjoy kicking down here in October and November rather than in Lambeau when the winds are blowing 25 miles an hour and it's 15 degrees out.
It's got to be the worst. To be a kicker on an outdoor cold weather stadium,
yeah.
That place in particular.
Yeah,
there's no more bitter place, right, in the league.
No,
I mean I suppose maybe Foxborough, Buffalo, or in that range too. Yeah, Buffalo does have that lake effect though.
Yeah, Buffalo's real bad.
Buffalo's got that lake.
That's
effect.
Theirs
bad. Is more the Buffalo's more the snow.
Yeah.
Than the temperature. Like
right.
The temperature in Green Bay is rough.
Yeah, it's a little bit more Arctic.
So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's an option for the Titans. He's a veteran kicker. He doesn't have the leg that he used to have. So, we'll see what happens on that. Like, to me, I think the plan for the Titans is to do exactly what they did at punter last year, which is to find their guy of the future. Like, they found Stonehouse last year. He came in, and he took Brett Kern's job away from him. Now, the difference is there's no veteran that any one of these kickers
You had a
with.
Really good option still with your veteran punter.
Exactly. So it's a different scenario from in terms of who you're competing with. But I think the Titans found their long-term punter last year, and they would love to find their long-term kicker this year. And look, maybe they believe it's Shudak. Like, he got hurt last year. Maybe they think that Shudak is that guy. I don't know. Like, if they didn't, then we probably would have liked to have seen them bring in a kicker at some point.
Right. No, I mean, I think that's the hope. So we'll see. It's just you just don't. I mean, look, there is pressure with Jimmy Wyatt sitting there. He's charting, and then Jared runs behind the goalpost, and he's giving. There's some pressure. And we're all standing there watching him. But obviously, it's just hard to manufacture. You know the pressure. This is where preseason games really can be informative. That's probably one of the best areas where a preseason game can help you. Is okay. At least there's lights, people in a stadium, television. Okay, now be consistent with your form and knock it through.
And Tim on the text line says, I've never understood why seventh-round picks aren't used on a kicker. The hit rate would have to be better than other positions that late. This from Tim on the text line. Maybe.
I mean, sometimes it happens. Some teams draft kickers high.
I've seen a team draft a kicker in the second round recently.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out so
well. And they still won the Super Bowl despite the complete flame out of that. Yeah.
So, I mean, we've seen teams draft kickers before.
Yeah, here and there. I did think this year there was a possibility late that the Titans might look at that. But, you know, they had to get a receiver at some point.
They did.
And they did.
And they got him in the seventh round. Can you imagine?
There's a guy I'm interested in watching this week, by the way.
Colton Dow. Yep, we'll see what he brings to the table. And, you know, obviously – I mean, that's the thing. You look at and we talked a lot about receiver yesterday, but what spots do you feel comfortable are totally locked down? Obviously, Treylon Burks. I think Kyle Phillips is going to make the team, so there's two. You know, I think NWI obviously is going to make the team, so there's three. You know, beyond that, Chris Moore probably is going to make the team.
Yeah.
Four spots are locked down, And then you have the Racy McMaths of the world, which I think he's probably got an inside track to make the team right now. Mason Kinsey's competing for a spot. Colton Dowell's competing for a spot. Like the receiving room and how that's going to shake out is going to be interesting to see kind of who nails down the back half of that room. And do you get through minicamp and into training camp and, like, finally Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon look around and say, yeah, we got to go get somebody else, regardless of if it's DeAndre Hopkins or elsewhere?
Yeah, maybe. I think right now, if no one is brought in, I would read it as like Dowell and McMath competing for the fifth spot. Is it a situation where because you don't have the quality, you go for more quantity and you have six guys? You know, I mean, like you said, Kinsey's around, and there's always, I mean, there's other guys around. The TCU kid is not bad. And he's so good that I can't remember his name. But
I can't either.
But you know who I'm talking about.
I do.
They've got some decent options in terms of some guys who have been around, you know, who could come in a pinch and, you know, and give you a little bit of help. But I think probably it's McMath, it's Robertson.
Yes,
who people
thank you.
Keep calling him Robertson. Reggie Robertson. You know, so he's around, and he's looked good at times. You know, they have Kyrus Jackson's around too. You know, Georgia rookie. So, and Mason Kinsey just keeps plugging away. But I think it's probably, if it's five, you know, it's probably McMath or Dowell. And look, I think, McMath has to take a big step. I think that we saw some glimpses. I guess you could just blame it on Caleb Farley if you want. I think he's got some ability, but at this point, year three, you got to be able to consistently bring. And obviously, you have to stay healthy, and that was the big problem for him last year.
I'm sure Joe knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, was that a cut? Awesome.
What the heck was that?
It was a drop of Jared saying that you know what you're talking about.
I thought he took over the show again.
I know. He just infiltrate whenever he wants. Here's some sound. Play this.
Thank you, Jared.
Here's a Xavier fight song.
Yes, thank you. And the other part of that is, not that it totally matters, because I think they're both going to play quite a bit, but when they're with three wide receivers out there, I feel good about Burks being on the outside spot. I feel good about Kyle Phillips being the slot guy. Who's the third guy? Like, who's the other starting outside receiver? Is it going to be NWI? Or is it going to be Chris Moore?
Yeah, that's the question. And right now, I'll guess Chris Moore, but they love NWI.
They do.
Many people love NWI. Now it's close. I think Chris Moore has produced more, a little bit more talented. So that would seem to be your choice. I mean, I think both those guys are going to be involved in playing. I mean, right now the rotation of receivers who I think will be on the field on Sundays just about in some combination is going to be Burks, Phillips, NWI, and more. And I, you know, and then the question is, like, is a McMath, can he be a Khalif Raymond, totally different, you know, physically player, but the same idea. Can he be that vertical, occasional helper? I don't know.
By the way, speaking of receivers, I saw a former Titans receiver yesterday comment that he still believes he can be a 1,000-yard guy in the league. Robert Woods down there at Houston Texans camp.
Yep.
Still believes he can be a 1,000-yard guy in the league. What do you think of that?
Well, I will say this. We talk about this all the time. The ACL, first year, not good. Second year after it, can get a lot better. Now, I would guess with him, just because of his age and the mileage he's had in this league, it wouldn't go that way. But, I mean, that is a thing with some people.
I mean, he basically all but said the lack of opportunity with the Titans was a big reason for his lack of production last year.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, you could catch the ball when
right.
it's thrown to you.
He dropped too many passes. He wasn't very explosive. He did play in an offense where the quarterback had 0.8 of a
he
second
did.
To throw.
He did.
That's worth – and he played an offense coordinated by Todd Downing, which, again, I'm not – I know everybody's – but before long, you know, Todd Downing will be known as a guy who – didn't know the football was oblong, you know, in this town. So I'm not going to join that bandwagon. But
before long,
he wasn't very good. Well, but it'll get, the legend will grow, okay. Is what I'm saying, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Rex Road has Robert Woods with 1,200 yards next year for the Texans.
And Todd Downing, NFL Assistant of the Year, which is an award that doesn't exist.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We have Willie Donnett coming up at 8 o'clock. Mike Herndon from PaulKuharsky.com joining the show at 8:30. Continuing to take your thoughts on the Titans. We'll take more of those thoughts on the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I also have some tickets to give away. We'll do all that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see Bryan Adams with special guest Joan Jett and the Blackhearts coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, June 17th. Be calling number 5-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Bryan Adams with special guest Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, June 17th. This contest brought to you by Green Trees Company, a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary providing high-quality legal THC products for anyone seeking medicine, relief, or wellness. It's located in Hendersonville and a new location in West Nashville as well. Available online at greentreescompany.com. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the NFL, Ron on the text line asked, do you believe in 10-plus years or so that kickoff returns and punt returns will no longer exist? This from Ron on the text line.
I don't think so. First of all, kickoff returns, I believe, are quite a bit more dangerous than punt returns. You're talking – I mean, a punt return can look the same way at times, but a kickoff return, you've got – a returner, when it actually happens, a returner and that last line, full speed, the coverage team, full speed, you know, that's a lot of force. Punt return is a little different, you know, and obviously you can fair catch. Now, you can do that in kickoffs now, too. I mean, I think what they've done makes it safer. I think you're going to see very few kickoff returns. But there's still going to be times when teams want to try to, you know, pop one up or whatever. And I don't think that they're going to completely disappear. I think this is to me, an obvious fix when you're talking about actually worrying about safety in football.
I agree. I will say, though, it's interesting, like, whether it was Devin Hester, obviously, was the most extreme example back in the day of the Bears of just being an absolute stud back there. But even like, you know, I remember Joshua Cribbs from the Browns who, you know, had some big explosive kick returns too. Like the kick return used to have at least kind of like an element of excitement to it. I get the danger of it, and you just laid it out, I think, really well. But like I hardly even watch kick returns anymore in the NFL because I'm like, all right, it's either going through the back of the end zone, they're popping one up and it's going to be down at the 20-yard line, or, you know, it's just going to be a 4-yard return and we go from there. I will say Keyshawn Nixon of the Packers brought a couple back last year and it was awesome. So I love the kick return. It's just – it kind of doesn't happen anymore in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very sporadic. So I understand everybody who, you know, misses how things used to be, but – you know, understand that as research continues on concussions and CTE and everything, I mean, one of the things that some people are like, you have to get rid of the line of scrimmage because it's the subconcussive over and over and over hits that are really damaging people. So if you think it looks different with the kickoff returns, you know, imagine if you take the line of scrimmage out and it's, I mean, it could change dramatically. And that's been discussed, and I mean, right now it's still tackle football.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think that part of it's going anywhere anytime soon. But there's no question that it's different now. I mean, we've even seen, you know, the conversation in camp with the caps that they put on the helmet, and I can't remember the actual name of what they're called, but a lot of people call them just concussion caps. Is what they kind of are, trying to prevent concussions there. Like, could that be something that teams actually wear on game day?
In games, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Sure.
I guess if you can point to some science that says that that's however much more effective at preventing concussions, then NFL is going to be open to it, would be my guess.
Right. Yeah. And it'll look silly at first. And
Then you get
it doesn't seem that it really – I remember Taylor Lewan talking about it last year, like it really affects mobility or anything like that. Just, you know, you get used to it and everybody else, it looks weird.
Speaking of him, he's still out there. He's still available. He's not, I guess, officially retired from the NFL at this point, but he's doing his thing with his podcast. He's 31 years old. Obviously, he has been released by the Tennessee Titans and is out there and available. You know, just because he's not signed on June the 6th doesn't mean that he's not playing this year. But what do you make of Taylor Lewan not ending up anywhere yet to this point? Now, obviously, he's still in recovery from the ACL surgery as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know Kaharski has, in the past on this show, talked about some teams he thinks that could end up landing Lewan. I thought he said the Saints maybe. So, and I don't think that's just out of nowhere. So it seems like he is open to playing again. I know someone was tweeting like some picture of him in Napa Valley or something last week. Did you see this? Yeah, like him,
yeah, he looks thin.
He and his wife. I was gonna say it's like that looks like a guy who's like done with the NFL now because he's reduced.
Well, I wouldn't blame him. I mean, if that's the route he wants to go,
no,
I would not blame him at all.
No, but I mean, yeah, no, I wouldn't either. It's interesting, I guess. Not making it an announcement, does that mean he's just kind of waiting to see, open to it, and if something materializes, okay, you know, get back into the, you know, protein shakes and get in the weight room? I don't know.
Well, he could be, you know, I would assume at this point that he's not fully recovered yet from the ACL, and he may just be waiting to see, you know, what does that look like? Did they actually, you know, fix my ACL this time? I mean, he's got mm-hmm. that going on with the Titans and, you know, the people who did his ACL surgery the first time, the lawsuit. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, but it could just be as simple as waiting to see both from his standpoint and maybe teams around the league standpoint as to whether or not that ACL actually is healed this time.
Yeah, and maybe he ends up being like a, you know, like a late pickup for somebody, and they could be, hey, I still think if it is healthy and he's mentally, you know, past worrying about it and all that stuff, I mean, he's not ancient.
No, he could 31.
He could still be good. Quite good, maybe.
Yeah, he could. I mean, it's, you know, if whatever was wrong the first time, and we'll, you know, that's obviously a legal process that has to play out on his part, but obviously, he feels that the ACL was not repaired properly the first time, and then you go back out last year and you tear it again, and that's it. Well, if it's fixed now and he is healed from it, you know, what does that mean? Like, if he wants to continue playing, what level can he keep playing at? Because, I mean, like you said, he's 31. If you get the ACL actually fixed, and his days of being in, you know, a top-level left tackle are probably over. But, you know, he could still, I guess if he wanted to, if that thing's fixed, I mean, he could play another few years in the league at that point, couldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, right now in the Napa Valley clothes, probably better than Dennis Daly at left tackle.
Well, maybe so.
God, see, you rip all the people who leave Nashville. I hate that.
Todd Downing.
I couldn't help it.
He's all over Todd Downing, all over Dennis Daly today.
Know. But, no, I think he could at least be a serviceable rotational tackle. And I'd say healthy, over it, over the knee, bulked up again, and all that. He's still probably better than 10, 12 starters in the league right now.
I just – you know, you got me on Todd Downing. I can't wait till like the Jets win the Super Bowl this year and Aaron Rodgers takes the Lombardi Trophy. And he says, you know what? I'm going to hand this immediately to my passing game coordinator, Todd Downing. He's the reason we're sitting here today. All of my success is because of this man.
God. And that'll be just a few months before John Hines is skating around with the Stanley
with
Cup,
the Cup
with the Rangers.
Yeah, it's parading it.
What a year it's going to be. Well, we'll have the Admirals, though.
I'll be honest with you. I honestly forgot that Todd Downing was the passing game coordinator because, I mean, they've had Rodgers come in, Ed and Nathaniel Hackett come in. As the OC.
Dream team.
I've forgotten that Todd Downing is the passing game coordinator.
They are loaded up. They might win every game. The Jets going to find – the Dolphins record is going down.
Keith Carter's up there too.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. Dream team.
I mean, is it Downing going to be like suspended at some point?
That's an interesting point, too.
I mean, you would think.
Well, then those will be the weeks that Aaron Rodgers looks like a bum.
Garbage out there. That or they're just terrible, and then he gets suspended halfway through the season, and for like the four games he's out, Rodgers just lights her up out there. Titans fans will have a field day with that one.
Yeah.
Wow. Todd Downing's not on the sideline. Look, Aaron Rodgers is slinging it around out there.
Interesting. All the hate watching.
Corey Davis, 110 yards receiving per game.
God, the Jets are kind of like almost – they're not quite the Falcons. Yeah, the Falcons are the Titans southeast, and the Jets the Titans northeast.
They are. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. We will do that coming up next. The second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament coming up this Wednesday, that is tomorrow, presented by Gary Forrest Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls. If you'd like to support Souls for Souls, you can check out the silent auction or make a donation. All you have to do is visit thegamenashville.com/golf for more information. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. I got to say, last week when I was going down the beach, I turned this one on. I turned this jam
on. You chose this song?
Yeah.
Really?
On Spotify. Sure did.
You went out, you said, I want to hear some Kokomo.
That's exactly what I did.
Okay. All right, man.
He did cool. It in cruising honor
through,
of Kokomo.
But the Beatles suck. Yay!
Cruising through Alabama. That's what I did.
Okay. Hey, man.
Also, listen to the best of Blink 182 on the way down there, too. Did you'd really? Have been real proud.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
And no Creed?
We had a little bit of Creed.
Scott Stapp.
But it was not on purpose.
What a
It just kind of came up on a...
Sure.
What a musical.
I like Creed. I'm not afraid to say it. I like Creed.
A musical booyah-based
I think people in our society say that they don't like Creed and don't like Nickelback because they think it's cool to say that they don't like Creed and
That's
they
fair.
Don't like Nickelback.
So you think that people actually do like them?
I do.
A.K.A. you.
They both suck.
I don't think Rex Road does, but I think there are plenty of people out there that say they don't like Creed and don't like Nickelback because they think that makes them cool.
I think with Nickelback, you're probably right.
Yes.
They're trying to impress you, Rex Road.
I think with Creed, I believe people. I believe them. I believe that their hearts are pure and their ears work. So, first of all, I want to make a quick correction. Robertson's SMU. I've done that before, too. He's not TCU. Thank you, JD. Thank you, LD. But sure.
Somewhere down there in Texas.
Mess everything up. Yeah, exactly. Something, something you from Texas. SMU. Okay, so do you guys like Jason Bateman?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Like Jason Bateman. You like Jason? Okay. Cool.
So does Katie Rexroad, our favorite person part of the show.
Yeah. And I like Jason Bateman too. I like Little House on the Prairie. I mean, at Silver Spoons, he played this little crap who was Ricky's friend, and he played it great. I liked Valerie's Family or whatever the heck that turned into. I mean, Teen Wolf 2 was a mistake, no doubt, and makes fun of it. He's done a lot of good stuff. He's a good actor. I liked Ozark.
Ozark.
It's a good show. Yeah. So my wife's obsessed with him, which is, you know, whatever. But she went to Chicago several months ago. Her best friend, Colleen, lives in Chicago. Shout out, Colleen. She went to Chicago because Jason Bateman's podcast was on the road. It's Smartless. It's a podcast.
Okay.
It's a good podcast. I don't listen to podcasts. Katie got me to listen to this podcast. It's good. It's hilarious. It's him. It's Sean Hayes, who people may remember from Will and Grace. And it's Will Arnett, who people may remember from one of the greatest Jason Bateman things, which is also eluding me. The show. The Bateman Show with Will Arnett.
Now you've got me.
Dude.
Hold on.
Right now, I hope Katie's listening. Cause
it's going to make her
I texted
screaming.
Her to listen, actually.
She's screaming if it is. What the heck? I mean, people on the text line have got to help me out. This is unbelievable. Why can't I remember anything?
I don't know.
It's a great show. It was actually canceled, and then it was
really
brought
good.
Back.
Arrested Development?
Yes.
There we go.
God. That's a great show. Then it got brought back, got canceled. It was on Netflix, all that stuff. Okay. So she goes to Chicago. They go to this podcast. It's a live taping of the podcast. I think like the guest was Mark Cuban, which is just okay.
Sure.
Great.
And cool. Cool.
Go Mavs.
I mean, it's fine, but you know, like Katie cares about. I mean, that's what she was like. Mark, who's this guy? Why do I care? I don't care about Mark Cuban. I think like in Boston, they like Conan or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. So anyway, they go outside and they figure out where they're going to come out. And so the guys come out and they're talking to him and hey, an autograph and all this stuff. And so meanwhile, a documentary was being filmed, and so. All that got on the documentary. The Smartless on the Road, which is a Max original documentary. So I think you guys have seen the picture. I've sent you the still shot of like Katie and Kai, like, oh my God, just like losing their minds,
yeah.
Talking to them. And it's, I watched the podcast. I mean, you can hear them. Like, yeah, I mean, it's great. But I got to ask you, like, at some point, is this cheating? I mean, can Alyssa Milano go on the road and do a podcast? Because I'll go.
He's her one pass.
Oh, Alyssa Milano is your pick. Like, that's it. Well, Alyssa Milano.
I mean,
Jessica Alba.
Yeah, but see, like, but that's more. That's a little bit more recent, which to me is a little bit. You know, like, not. That's a little bit shit. I mean, Alyssa Milano, like Jason Bateman, I started to have a crush on in the 80s.
Sure.
Just like Katie with Jason Bateman. You know what I mean? So to me, it's the parallel situation. Like, if Alyssa Milano was still relevant doing anything, then I'd be like, oh, my God. I mean, that show was terrible, The Witch Show, but I would still watch it sometimes because Alyssa Milano was on the show.
It's on sometimes
in the
studio.
This is really funny. I never knew who that was. It is literally on this TV every single day, and I just never switch it.
Yeah, really?
She's on every single day.
It's on, like, TNT, isn't it? Because I guess somebody's in here watching either the NHL or the NBA the night before, and then all of a sudden we look up on TNT and... there's Alyssa Milano walking across the screen.
And I forget the name of that show. It's like Enchanted.
Bewitched or Twitched, sure. Or something
it's
like
not
that.
Bewitched.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's weird. That's really weird that it's in there all the time. I'm just asking. Like, at what point is it crossing the line that my wife is fangirling this hard about Jason Bateman?
I mean, the going to the podcast is an impressive step. And then finding out where, you know, like
yeah, in Chicago.
Entering and exiting the building. Yeah.
In Chicago.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
I mean, she had a free place to stay, but still.
I will say the one thing, and this is going to make your wife really mad at me. That's fine. I do like Jason Bateman. I really do.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. I do feel like, and it was reinforced even, you know, I watched Air last week, which I told you guys. Great movie.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. Jason Bateman is in the movie. And I will say, it does kind of feel like he's playing, like, the same character over and over again a lot of times. Like, it's, you know, he's kind of the funny, mm-hmm. you know, dry humor type guy. That's just kind of what he is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. It's basically he plays himself.
Yeah, in like shows. He's in Couples Retreat. He's kind of the same thing right. there. Like yeah. It's all I like him.
Sure.
I'm just saying there's not. I feel like there's not a ton of versatility there.
He's just awesome. They want him to play himself. That's it.
I agree.
Yeah.
I like him.
So Vingan is just blowing me up. First, Jason Bateman, he says, insufferable. Then in all caps, wow. Arrested Development, in all caps, Charmed. And then then he asked me if I have dementia. Possibly.
Well, I hope not.
Charmed. Chase, boy, I tell you what. Chase McCabe also loves Alyssa Milano, apparently.
So.
All right, so there you go.
Charmed.
I was hoping that Katie was listening right now and she would call in angrily. Yeah, I think Jason Bateman's cool. He's good. I don't know that he's worth throwing a marriage away, Katie Rextro. Okay?
He does have more money than you do.
What about me, Katie? Yeah, it's true. It's true. Actually, I mean.
He's got great hair, too. So do you, though.
He does have better hair than I have. I don't know. I mean, I guess, like. Like you said, so that's this is a hall pass situation?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Well, and also, I mean, that, like, going to the live pod, like, that's awesome. Like, if Alyssa Milano had the same thing, we know you would be front and center, Rex.
Like, if she had a podcast, like, about the show Charmed, which I would not want to hear about at all, you know?
I mean, it's 2023. The odds are she's probably got one, like a podcast somewhere.
Well. Let's Google it.
Does Alyssa Milano have a podcast? Are they touring?
That's the thing. Like, I don't really want to listen to the podcast if she has one.
Just saying.
But I just Google Alyssa Milano.
Everybody's got a podcast.
Go. Pandora's box opened. Oh, Alyssa Milano. Sorry, not sorry on Apple Podcasts.
Well, wait, this is weird. She's on my screen again. She's on my screen every single day. That is wild.
There you go.
Oh, Alyssa. And again, this goes back to like when she and I were both 12 and she was on Who's the Boss.
Right.
So.
By the way.
It's a pure and, you know.
Innocent love.
Yeah, exactly.
William from Madison on text line says, what's sad is when Joe said silver spoons, Robbie and Michelle have no clue what they're talking about. That's true. I have no idea.
You know?
No idea.
Honestly, any of those except for Ozark and Air, I really had no idea.
You never heard of Little House on the Prairie?
Well, yeah, but yeah. I'd never watched it.
Well, Silver Spoons is about little Ricky Schroeder, and he had like a train in his house. He's like this super rich kid, and he has a train in his house.
I remember that.
Uh-huh. Couple of silver spoons. Classic. And Ricky and Bateman played like this total jerk friend of his that made him do bad stuff. Maybe Katie should have taken note. Not such a great guy.
54 years old.
So seems like he's done pretty well.
I'm younger.
That is true.
I know more about sports. I know more about the Milwaukee Admirals than Jason Bateman.
And Michigan State.
Making your case. 615-737-1025, our phone number. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Willie Donick. We will get into the Admirals' loss. We'll get into a bunch of different Preds topics with him. Go ahead.
Real fast, Katie just texted me. Yes, I am listening. He's a character actor. Tell Robbie he's dumb. So
thank
there
you.
You go. Defending Jason Bateman's honor. Not my honor. Bateman's honor.
I knew that would upset her. I'm just saying.
No, you're not
the
wrong.
Same stuff.
You're not wrong.
He's good.
Okay, he's fine.
I like him. Shout out to Marty Bird. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5.
Caroline's stepdad. Great guy.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.